Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and we have a Halloween-themed show for you today. Short and sweet, we have an interview with the horror twins, Jen and Sylvia Soska, and a Witch Hunter review from Noah and Darren. So we have ghouls and frights and scares and witches and witch hunters and monsters, all in good flavor for Halloween. And we've got some more scary horror-related stuff coming up for you in the next month or so. So look forward to some interviews along the more scary edge of your speculative fiction fandom. So with that, we'll get right into it.
Hi, Summer.
Hello and hi. Welcome to more Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guests right now are the horror twins. Jen and Sylvia Soska have a new brand of horror-themed game show entertainment for us called Hellevator. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Oh, thank you for having us.
So, tell us all a little bit about Hellevator.
Well, Hellevator is a survival horror game show experience, and every week it's a new interactive horror movie they get to go through. So, three friends join us in our abandoned slaughterhouse, and they go on the Hellevator. The first three floors are the first three challenges that individually one person has to take. Survivors of the first three floors get to take on the ultimate challenge, which is the labyrinth. Basically, all the monsters and ghouls and everything that was scaring you individually, like spread out on the different levels, all of that's waiting right for you at the bottom.
Now, it sounds like you're creating a horror short film for people to star in, and the bonus is they actually get money at the end if they survive.
You know, absolutely. It's just like that. You know, I think everyone is guilty of sitting there and watching horror movies and saying, oh, I would get through that. I'd run out the door. I'd grab that weapon. Well, Hellevator really puts that to the test. It's a survival horror game show, and it's the first of its kind.
Yeah, and it's amazing because a lot of the people, they really see what they're made of by being on Hellevator. Like, they know when they sign up that it's a horror game show, but they really don't know what else happens to them. So there's been a lot of screaming, a lot of crying, women and men tears. And then there's people who surprise you, like people who come in kind of scared and meek and mousy, and then just in typical horror movie fashion are like the final girl. They're braver, they're tougher. From saying gosh, oh golly, they're saying words that we have to bleep out for the airing. It's just a very interesting transformation, and people are happy afterwards. A lot of people who aren't as familiar with horror and genre, they think just the headline of it, of what it could be, but people who are in the know, it's just a really fun, happy experience when you survive, of course.
Yeah, or it's really miserable and you fail.
She's the mean one.
I am the mean one.
Well, hey, for a lot of people, horror movies are better catharsis than therapy, so.
Oh, yes.
So how did you come up with the premise of this for a game show?
Well, it came from Blumhouse and GSN, and they're collaborating together. And I actually saw the press release before we ever came onto the show. Then we really petitioned to get on in these seats, and here we are. It worked out fine for us.
It's so funny. I'm going to say it was witchcraft, because we did put that energy into the world, and it did happen for us.
I like that. I'll go with witchcraft.
It was witchcraft. It was witchcraft. That's how we did it, Summer.
So how long does it take to prep a warehouse for a new team? I'm guessing there has to be a lot of setup for special effects and sound effects.
Well, we have amazing henchmen that work very quickly, and the abandoned warehouse is actually a former slaughterhouse. So when you're in there, you can definitely feel the energy of bad things having happened. In fact, the labyrinth is on a floor where they used to slaughter animals. And it's creepy as all hell, even without any set deck.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely has some weird energy for that. But it's amazing to see how fast everybody works to put these things together. And they're elaborate challenges. For example, there's one challenge which is about inspired by a rat going through a maze for cheese. And our special twist on it is that a contestant gets a cage on her head and is connected to a wire of a maze on the ceiling. And every 30 seconds, a different rat gets dropped on her head until she completes or fails the task.
That's a fun one.
It's always fun. I love animals.
Oh my goodness, rats, snakes. I can see people's inner terrors ramping up right now. Have you had any have you had anybody run screaming out of the building yet?
Well, the thing about the slaughterhouse, it's not that easy to get out of it. And yes, we had a lot of people running off into the darkness and screaming. But there is a commercial, I believe, that's been playing on GSN, which is what we call the Screams promo. That is actual footage of one of the contestants attempting to make it through one of our challenges. And she did a good job screaming and crying and us yelling at her to keep going the entire way. But, you know, that given, a good job.
But that's the thing. A lot of people are like, okay, I'll go in with my three buddies and we'll get through all the challenges and we'll go everywhere together. A lot of the times, one person, maybe two, makes it down. And that's scary, especially when you thought you were the weakest link and now you're the last person standing and now everything that's left standing is going after you. But $20,000 is on the line, so it's a heavy motivator.
In the labyrinth?
Oh, the labyrinth,
for sure.
As a horror aficionado, I'm always fascinated by the behind-the-scenes stuff. Are there any outtakes that watchers, viewers will get to see later?
Oh, I really hope so. There have been a lot of, shall we call them creature mishaps? We did fill a tub full of leeches and throw an individual in there that was tied in and had to free himself. But the leeches were, they were a good time.
You know, the thing about Hellevator, there's almost too much footage. I hope they have a compilation of just the screams. We were talking about one of the screams of one of the gentlemen, and everybody always says, oh, women will scream. Oh, they'll be terrified. But this gentleman had a very effeminate scream, and it was higher than the two girls he was with, and it was just put on a loop, all of those. I think that would be interesting to see. I mean, maybe a super smash cut of all the screams and all the scares for a season.
Oh, yeah, and we do have some pretty exciting color commentary that we run the entire episode as we watch and take delight in the suffering of our contestants.
Yeah, it's very Elvira of us.
Oh, yeah. Some of the jokes are a little bit after 8 p.m., if you get what I mean. So I would love to see those.
That sounds like your perfect pitch for Blumhouse. Hey, let's put out a DVD that has a special screen gallery.
Oh, absolutely. Oh. Or Hellevator After Dark.
Oh, yeah. And maybe if it gets really successful, we could branch out like Hellevator the Dating Show.
Or Hellevator for Kids, Preschool Hellevator.
Yeah, she keeps pressing for a preschool Hellevator. I really don't think it's going to happen.
Children are good contestants.
I would feel so bad.
Yeah, I think you have to stick with junior high school on that one.
I'll go as high as junior high.
Cool. So tell us when people can tune in and get scared.
Oh, of course. Hellevator is going to be every Wednesday after the 21st, premiering on the 21st at 8 p.m. Eastern Time and 7 p.m. Central Time.
And that's on GSN, the Game Show Network?
It's on GSN. Yes, absolutely. And if anyone feels brave enough and wants to be a contestant, they can go to gsntv.com and apply for season 2. And you just need two friends and a good attitude.
And a good pair of running shoes.
No kidding.
Well, Jen and Sylvia, thank you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you for having us.
And that show is Hellevator on Game Show Network, brought to you by Blumhouse Productions and the Horror Twins. And we will be right back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
There's a little superhero in all of us. Listen to Krypton Radio every day, and we'll help you find yours.
another Slice of Sci-Fi video review. I'm Noah Richmond.
And I'm Darren Goldswick.
And we are talking about Last
Witch Hunter.
Yes, Last Witch Hunter with Vin Diesel.
Woohoo!
This is a film about a witch hunter from the Middle Ages who has encountered a real life, well, he's encountered many real life witches, but in this case it's the Witch Queen. He's fought and he's exhausted and he's sick of witch hunting and he's sick of being alive. And the Queen can see this, so she curses him as he stabs her and kills her. She curses him with life. So this is a witch hunter who has been cursed with the inability to die. He's immortal, and that's the opening scene of the film, and the next thing you know is Vin Diesel flying around in an airplane in the modern day. So yeah, that's the setup for the film. And
my interest was lost. No, but seriously, did you go to the movie thinking it was going to be something different?
I mean, I was hoping it was going to be set in the Middle Ages, that yeah. It was going to be a witch hunter and in the medieval period. That was disappointing to me that they set it.
Try to do their own Highlander.
Brought it into the modern day, but I'm sure there were budget considerations involved. In any case, what are your thoughts about Last Witch Hunter, Darren?
Well, first of all, Vin Diesel, not the hugest fan of, not that I don't dislike his work, I just don't usually make the time to watch a lot of his movies. Doesn't mean I wouldn't enjoy a film that he was in, it's just never made my time. But I was hoping that this movie would be better than it was. It's just right to the point, you know, you probably set it up, it was a typical cookie cutter type movie that you would see released in the fall or after the big movie release. It just felt really almost sci-fi like, you know, with the bigger budget. Sci-fi channel, like I should say.
Right.
But there was no, for me, there was no development in character. You know, Vin Diesel played the same old cookie cutter. You know, there's no range with his acting, which is fine. I think no one expects him to, you know, recite Hamlet or anything. But, you know, his range of emotions is pretty damn bad. And there were some good action sequences. So, I mean, that's what you're going to get with that style of movie. They're setting it up for it. Like it could be a sequel in the sense that we have Fast and the Fury movies that have been huge. And
right.
I don't know that this is going to attract that same interest because it's really expecting the community of sci-fi fans to draw into this. And I don't think it's deep enough to draw those fans in. There's nothing that really makes me want to go back and watch it. You know, and so overall I was disappointed with the movie. Just didn't left. I was bored with it. I mean, I enjoyed it, watching it for what it was, because I didn't put it up there as a high movie I was going to expect to be impressed with. So from that point, I enjoyed it like I enjoy watching, you know, Showtime on Saturday night, watching, you know, the old Chuck Norris movie or something.
Yeah.
Missing in action. Or
yeah, I can't really disagree with anything you said. I think I maybe enjoyed it a little more than you did.
Yeah.
But on the whole, I enjoyed it the way I would enjoy a Sci-Fi Channel movie on the Friday night. I would say it was a little surprising seeing it coming out in a movie theater because it felt so much like a made-for-TV sci-fi channel movie. It, you know, it definitely seemed like it was the pilot for some kind of new series that was coming out. It was definitely very cheesy. But I was able to enjoy it because I expected to go in and it basically be that, and it delivered on what it was. It didn't really make any great pretense of trying to be something else. It was in contrast to some other films that I've seen recently that were better made films, but that also had larger pretensions. I always appreciate films that are just B films that aren't really pretending to be anything other than B.
I don't think Vin Diesel would want his film to be called a B film, though. It was just too much. Like, what did you think about some of the support actors, like Rose Leslie, who was, I enjoyed her time on Game of Thrones.
Yeah, they certainly did draw a top-notch cast, and they didn't really give anybody anything particularly interesting to do. You had Michael Caine, Elijah Wood, Rose Leslie. And it's true, you had a top-notch cast, none of them really doing anything extraordinary. It was certainly by the numbers, certainly something that you can see on your cable channels on a Saturday night, but I'm fine with that.
I don't know. It's the attention span of a day-to-day basis. You know, when you spend time to watch a movie, you want to be, you know, entertained, and I can appreciate a good B movie, but they're marketing this thing like it's going to be a big movie. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't feel like a B movie, so maybe
you mean in terms of the push,
in terms of scope, yeah, in terms of where it's being. I mean, I've heard some people asking, you know, talking about it in excitement. You know, I've read on some of the like preview boards saying that they were looking forward to it because, you know, Vin Diesel is. It's kind of a hot commodity right now. He just came off a really successful Need for Speed. That's funny. I don't even know the name. What was
Fast
it?
And Fast and Furious.
I'm sorry. I haven't seen but one of them. So I. But you know that's been a very successful movie. And I understand the last one was really good, which I would watch. But anyway, so he's kind of a hot commodity right now. So I could see this doing well because people want to see what's the next Vin Diesel movie going to be like.
Uh-huh.
And there are people that like who actually may enjoy this movie, and I would certainly understand, you know, why they may enjoy it because it's got some good action sequences. You know, the story is simple enough. It just for me there was not enough investment into the actual development of a character. Again, that's my expectations, so it doesn't mean it's a bad film per se.
Right.
But
yeah. Well, again, it's not really a film that there's a whole lot we need to say about it. It's fairly straightforward, by the book, B film with some fun special effects, fun fighting sequences. Take it for what it is. I had a, maybe I shouldn't say.
you had a nice little. You had some adult beverages beforehand, so maybe that puts you in a bit different point of view. Maybe if. You know, a little more.
Right. So yeah, for me, it's definitely your typical have a couple beers on a Saturday night, watch it late night on the Sci-Fi Channel. I've got a soft spot in my heart for that, so for me, it's okay.
Well, maybe if I had a couple
take it for what it is.
Yeah, maybe if I had a couple beers, I might have enjoyed it a little differently. I don't know. Maybe I just got to pull a stick out of my ass and not be so tight about it, but. Anyway, I just didn't enjoy it, so.
All right. Anyway, those are our thoughts on Last Witch Hunter, and thank you for watching Slice of Sci-Fi.
See you next time.
Slice of Sci-Fi.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this little short and sweet Halloween show. We, like I said earlier, we have some more spooky content coming up very soon, so stay tuned for that. We have a few more discussions on the current slate of new and returning TV shows this season. You should start seeing the 5 episodes in reviews here on the website, sliceofscifi.com. But that will do it for this episode of Slice of Sci-Fi. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call them in. That number is 602-635-6976. Or, as always, you can just record a message yourself and email that in to summer@sliceofscifi.com. And, you know, you don't even have to record a message. You could just email one in if a short, sweet voicemail just won't contain the message your heart is aching to share with your other Slice of Sci-Fi listeners. If you're an iTunes subscriber, please leave a review for us on iTunes. You can talk with us on Twitter at Slice of Sci-Fi. Check us out on Facebook, on Google+, and of course the websites. SliceofSciFi.com, WritersAfterDark.com, and yes, You heard that correctly. KickassMysticNinjas.com. Thank you all for your donations and for your support on Patreon. Yes, we have a live, fully launched, ready-to-go Patreon page. Or is it Patreon? I've been getting mixed signals on that. I don't know if it's Patreon or Patreon. I will alternate, just to be fair. So our Patreon page at patreon.com/sliceofscifi, you will be able to pledge a certain amount every month, just like you used to do with the PayPal donations. And you can read a little bit more about what I'm trying to accomplish here. Yes, I want to keep Slice of Sci-Fi going. Yes, plans are in the work to jumpstart Kick-Ass Mystic Ninjas. If everything comes together, there will be a new Ninjas episode by the end of the year. That is my intention. That is my goal. And yeah, maybe even by the end of the year, there'll be another show started over at Writers After Dark. The reviews have been going well. We are setting up some more written interviews. I'm going to be stockpiling author interviews, spoken interviews, recorded interviews for that show. There's a couple of pieces missing, and I'm working on pulling those all together. So, patreon.com, see what I did there, /sliceofscifi, and pledge your support. Later on, there will be other bonuses. You will be able to get access to the old Slice of Sci-Fi shows. You'll be able to get access to the old Dragon Page shows. In fact, you can decide if you want the entire episode of a particular show, or just the interview part, or just a segment of it. Let me know. I really am interested in what people would want from the archives. Do they want the entire show beginning to end? Or do they just want that interview because that's somebody they wanted to hear from? We can work on that going forward. All of this is fluid. It's a work in progress. The best way for me to make it work is with your help and with your input. And like I said, when we get to enough levels where I can get the equipment I need, there'll be a live show on Krypton Radio Saturday mornings, and Patreon supporters will be able to get recordings of those live shows. Otherwise, if you don't tune in, you miss it. So, everyone, again, thank you for your continued support, your ongoing support, your new support, I hope. My thanks to Sci-Fried, the geek rock band closest to my heart, for giving us the awesome theme music we have. If you want to check out more music by them, you can go to sci-friedband.com. Thanks to Tim Callender, my co-host over at the Babylon Podcast, for the bright and shiny new artwork that graces the website and the podcast artwork. And of course, thank you for tuning in and continuing to make this show something you enjoy and something I enjoy making for you. But that'll do it. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.